So this morning, we get to talk about joy, which is great. We talked about God's presence. We talked about hope that we have. And this morning, we move to joy. Now, we're going to be preaching out of Isaiah chapter 55. And I don't have time to go into all the details of Isaiah and, you know, give the historical background, but I'm going to tell you this. So when the first two messages that you heard, Isaiah was speaking to the people around him in his time. Isaiah chapter 55 is him speaking to people who would be experiencing this 100 years later from him. So this is him prophesying about what's going to happen in Israel about 100 years later from when he's speaking these words. And so this is a message to a people that have gone into exile. Now, they haven't yet in Isaiah's lifetime, but he knows that they will. The Lord has told him they will go into exile. And so in Isaiah chapter 55, these people have experienced what was predicted in the chapters that John preached on, that they were overthrown by the Assyrians, and then the Babylonians came in and kicked them out of their kingdom and spread them all across the Middle East, and they had to live in a place that was no longer their home. And you can imagine how they felt as they lived in exile, 100 years in exile, waiting for God to restore them back to Jerusalem, to bring the people of Israel back. And so for you today, as we talk about joy and what they are going to see in chapter 55, I don't know what, you know, your life is like right now, but maybe you're in exile. Maybe you're kind of stuck in a bad place. Maybe you've had a rough year. Maybe you've experienced a loss in your family, or, you know, you had a falling out with some people that you love, or maybe you've just lost your job, or maybe you're just stuck in sin and you don't know what to do and you can't seem to escape its grip. You're not experiencing the joy that God has promised you. Right? You're here in Christmas season, we talk about joy, we sing about joy, and you're just not feeling it. You don't know what to do, okay? And so when we come to chapter 55, he's going to tell us how we can experience the joy of God, this promise that he had for his people long before Christ came. So verses 1 through 3 say this: "Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the water, and you without silver, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without silver and without cost. Why do you spend silver on what is not food, and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live. I will make a permanent covenant with you on the basis of the faithful kindness of David." So the first thing that we see here, how do we get to joy? God urges his people, return to me, right? That's what he's asked, return to the Lord. And so when we read these verses, God has asked his people, please, I'm begging you, just listen to me. You didn't listen to Isaiah then, and you're not listening to me and my other prophets now when we're telling you, stop living the way you are and just come back to us. You're far away from me right now. Physically, you're not in Jerusalem, but spiritually, you're not listening to the words that I'm telling you. And so the first thing that he says is we have to return to the Lord. And he uses this specific phrase of come to him. And here's the thing. God has been pleading with humanity to come to him since the very beginning. He created Adam and Eve, and he wanted to draw near to them in a relationship. And then he asked Abraham to come out of where he was living and take his family and go and be with him in this new place he had for him. He asked the shepherds to come and see Jesus and see the Lord for themselves. And through the star, he drew the wise men to Jesus as well. And he's asking us to come to him today as well. He is pleading with you, and he's begging you, why won't you just come to me? I have something for you. He wants us to enjoy him. And so he says this. He promises good food and good drink and the choicest of foods. And the best thing about it, he says, is you can come and it doesn't cost you anything. I just want you to enjoy me. I just want you to experience the full blessings of all that I have to offer. See, being in the presence of God affords us those blessings. God tells the people in exile here to turn back to Him, and when they do, they will experience what God is really about, giving freely of the good things that He has for us. God has promised us that if we would come to Him and just enjoy Him for who He is and what He's done for us, that we would experience immense blessing in Him. Now, the Christian life is one where we're supposed to suffer. Absolutely. I think that when we serve Christ and follow Christ, we will suffer for Christ. But God didn't say that we would live a miserable life. God promised that we would have life in abundance in His name. And so He has called us today to come to Him and enjoy what He has for us. So as we return to the Lord, something happens. In verses 6 and 7, it says this: "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call to Him while He is near. Let the wicked one abandon his way and the sinful one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord so He may have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will freely forgive." So God urges us to return to Him. Come back to Him. You've been fighting or running or staying away from Him for so long. And that's what the Israelites were doing. And He said, just come back to me. And when you do, don't just come back to me and do the same thing over and over again. He says, repent before the Lord. So we have to return to the Lord, and then we have to repent before Him. If we want to experience joy, we have to repent of everything that we've done against Him. We've been running from Him. We've been sinning against Him. We've been ignoring Him in all of His pleas and callings to us. And so when we finally wise up and listen to Him, when we go to Him, the next thing that has to happen is we have to fall down on our knees and repent before Him for what we've done. And I love, there's two things that I really notice in this verse that caught my eye. The first is this first part. He says, seek the Lord while He may be found and call to Him while He is near. Here's the thing. God is offering His forgiveness right now. God doesn't want you to wait a moment for His forgiveness. We often fear coming to the Lord and asking for forgiveness, and so we wait and we tarry, or we let our heart kind of like back us out of it because we're scared. But God is saying, now is the time. You cannot waste another minute, because none of us are guaranteed a moment in this life. And so He said, seek the Lord now. Come to Him while He's here, because you won't always have a chance to. You don't know when your time is up, and you don't know when you're going to not get that chance anymore. His forgiveness is offered to you now. And so He's urging with His people, please take this chance now. I'm offering you my forgiveness. And He offers that same forgiveness to us right now. The second thing I notice is the end of this verse. It says, let him return to the Lord so He may have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will freely forgive. God reminds His people that His plan has always been to forgive them freely for their sins. The gospel is a free gift of eternal life paid for us on the cross of Christ. God is reminding the people of Israel that His forgiveness has always been free. We have a gracious God whose mercies extend far beyond what we can imagine. Even when all of Israel turned its back on God, He was still pleading with them and asking them to come and seek Him and repent before Him, because He wanted to forgive them, and He wants to forgive us too. He reminded them, like a loving father does, that even though He punished them for what they'd done, He sent them into exile, He returned to them and said, I still love you. I still care for you. And I want you to seek me now. So we have to return to the Lord, and we have to repent before the Lord. But the last thing that we have to do is in verses 12 and 13. It says, you will indeed go out with joy and be peacefully guided. The mountains and the hills will break into singing before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of a thorn bush, a cypress will come up, and instead of the briar, a myrtle will come up. This will stand as a monument before the Lord, an everlasting sign that will not be destroyed. So when we return to the Lord and when we repent before him, what we experience is that we receive the joy that the Lord has to offer us. And this receiving of this joy is really found in two ways. The first is that joy is found in praise. That when we receive this joy, we can't help but praise our God for what he's done for us. Peter tells us that when we experience salvation, what it lays inside of our hearts is this inexpressible joy that the world around us cannot even comprehend or understand. And so he reminds us that when we accept God and when we repent before him and he comes into our hearts, that we will go out with joy. And he says that the mountains and the hills will break into singing and the trees will clap their hands. It's this picture of the entire world praising God for what he's done on the cross. And the second thing is that joy is found in new life. Our greatest joy, like the Israelites in exile, is that God has promised us a new life. They waited and languished in exile for years. And they held on to the hope that one day they would experience a new life in Jerusalem. And when they got there, they got to experience it with a full joy. And we have that same opportunity when we turn to God and repent of our sins before him and realign our life with his will and his purposes. We experience joy because our life becomes radically changed and radically new before him. So as we celebrate Christmas this season, we can take joy that the promise of a new life given long ago still remains true, because God entered our world in the form of a baby, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross so that we could experience new life in his name. And we have that opportunity today. So maybe you are not experiencing the joy of Christmas right now. Well, God has a promise for you. If you return to him, if you repent before him, you will receive the joy that he's promised.